It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. And what's up, baseball fans? Welcome to the Coach's Corner Sports Network, Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast for September 20th, 2023. It's the coach, Carl DeMasi, and of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson, back for another round of baseball. That's right. We talk all things baseball, and it's always a lot of fun. We're part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. There are four shows, Rubbin' and Grubbin', Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 with the Atlanta man, Brandon Bain. Coach's Corner's Facebook page, YouTube, go check it out. Of course, the OG of the Coach's Corner Sports Network, the man that came up with the idea, Lawrence Bennett, he's the producer of that show. Yours truly, the Carl DeMasi Sportsport, every Saturday morning from 9 to whenever. It's usually 9 to about 10:15, 10:30, talking all thing local sports, all national sports. You name it, we talk it, we do it. Special guest, athlete of the week every week. It's a lot of fun. Then once a year, first week in April, the 19th hole with the Herb Brothers doing all things the Masters, five straight days. A little adultish, but check it out. There's a lot of adult beverages flowing. Check it out on YouTube, the 19th hole with the Herb Brothers. And then we have one podcast, which you're listening to right now, the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi. And, of course, joining me on the Coach's Corner hot seat like he does every Wednesday night is the man himself, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. What's up, Cubby man?
Whew. It has been a week, coach. We're getting down to it. Only about 11 games remaining in this season. And before we get to my favorite time of the year, the Major League Baseball playoffs. And I'm looking forward to breaking it all down with you once again here on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. How you doing, coach?
And, you know, having a lot of fun watching what's going on every week from week to week. Everything's changing. Wild card teams clinching wild card team races, teams clinching playoff positions already. So it's been a lot of fun. We'll talk four innings here tonight. Of course, we start out inning number one. We go around the horn. We break down the divisions. Tonight, we're talking about who's clinched, who's jockeying for position. It's going to be a lot of fun. Inning number two, we're going to switch it. We're going to go to the Savannah Bananas. That's right. They finished up their world tour. And Kyle, the Pawnee Animals won the playoff. 34 wins to 33 wins, two ties against the Bananas. It's not Harlem Globetrotters, people, because Harlem Globetrotters never let the Washington Generals win. So pretty good and interesting baseball. Now, inning number three, we'll hop back and we'll talk about the Braves because there's a lot of negativity talking about the Braves right now. We'll get into that when we get there. All right. And then we'll throw in also in the Braves segment, we'll talk about the one local guy that's still playing in the Japan League for the Yokohama Bay Stars. I got it right. Got it right. No errors so far. And then inning number four, it's always a lot of fun. Little MLB baseball history trivia between the coach and the baseball fanatic. It's going to be the 12th round this year. And the coach has never led before, but this is twice in the last 2 weeks. The coach has got the lead. Six wins to five for the Cubby, man. But we know he'll come back because he knows a lot about baseball or more about the baseball trivia than I do. So, all right, let's hit it up. Step up the plate. Inning number one. Let's go around the horn. And, of course, we always start in the junior circuit, and we start on the East Coast. You got to love the Baltimore Orioles, okay? We talk so much about Cincinnati. We thought they were going to be the Cinderella story. Well, I hate to tell you, it's the Birds from Baltimore, Maryland.
Well, and the more I see it, Coach, each week shows me that scouting and good drafting is finally bearing fruit for that team in Baltimore. They got a 2.5 game lead. They got 95 wins, 56 losses. They're only a game and a half back of the Braves for the best record in all of Major League Baseball. And it's turned into just a two-team race. Meanwhile, Toronto was still hanging on by a thread in that wild card race. But Tampa Bay is a mere 2.5 games out, still making it interesting. Two of the best teams in baseball coming out of the best division, coming out of an unbelievably tough division. I love it. It's been great.
So we're right now, Baltimore's 95 and 57. So if I do my math, that's 152 games, right?
Yeah, you're getting pretty darn close right there. I forgot they played an afternoon game today. Apologies for that. I'll take an E on that. But that's right. Yeah, they've got a four-game winning. They had a four-game winning streak coming into today. But Tampa Bay continues to play tough, and they are right on their heels, 2.5 games back.
All right, so we'll see what happens in that. And you know, Baltimore's already clinched. So they got the right. They're already clinched for the playoff spot. Tampa Bay's clinched for a playoff spot. So Toronto's trying to get in there, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, they are currently in that second spot, right behind the Rays. They've got a half game lead over the Texas Rangers. And yeah, that's another division I can't wait to talk about, but I won't spoil it quite yet. But yeah, that's the skinny on the AL East for the week.
All right. We got to go to the, of course, go to the Central now, the AL Central. All right. And we know already that Minnesota is clearly going to be taking that spot. I mean, there's no way with 10 games left that the Guardians, the Indians are going to come back. So, you got to be pretty impressed with what the Minnesota Twins have done again this year.
Found a way to persevere. They find a way. They've got a really strong lineup, and they've done the job in a really weak division. The only team that's over 500 right now. They're 9 games over 500 as we speak right now. Cleveland is 2 games from being eliminated. By the weekend, the Twinkies will be celebrating a division title. You can guarantee that.
All right, as the train moves along, we're chugging out there to the left coast, the AL West, Houston, Seattle, Texas, only separated by a half a game.
Half a game. I love it. Houston, you know, don't poke the bear, the sleeping giant, you know, reigning World Series champions right now, coming back at it, 18 games over 500, but nipping at their heels, two really talented teams, one team. Excuse me, you could also make the argument for two of these teams, Seattle and Texas, having MVP contenders. They are a mere half a game out of winning this division. It's going to come down to the wire. It's going to come down next week. This is easily the most exciting division race that we have left in all of Major League Baseball. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, you know, it's, you know, you never thought, I thought Houston would run away with it. But, you know, the other two teams are fighting for it, and it's pretty exciting. And, you know, Seattle, you know, we thought they were good when we first started doing this thing, and I didn't think they would hang around. You know, and, of course, we always said L.A. Angels, but now, you know, put Ohtani on the shelf. So, you know, you feel bad for the Angel fans because every year they got all these high hopes. You got the two of the best players in baseball, and they just can't get over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. You have two generational talents. And I mean, I literally used that phrase on last week's show, but I mean, it also kind of reminds me, remember the early 70s when you had Frank Tanana and Nolan Ryan? Tanana and Ryan in 2 days of crying. Yep. And I mean, it continues. And I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, Ohtani had surgery on that elbow. He is clearly shelved for the year. They cleaned out his locker. It'd be interesting to see what happens in the offseason, because you know he's a dual threat, the only player in baseball. You can say that right now. Houston continues to hold the top spot right now. But think about it. All three of these teams have been in first place at one point this year. That's why it's going to come down. I guarantee you it'll come down to the last 3 or 4 games of the season to see who takes home the AL West flag.
All right. And the AL West tiebreakers, the Astros owe the tiebreaker over the Rangers. The Mariners own the tiebreaker over the Astros. The Rangers own the tiebreakers over the Mariners. The Rangers also own a tiebreaker of the Mariners and the Blue Jays, if that comes down to that wild card spot with the Blue Jays. And the Mariners own the tiebreaker over the Blue Jays. If you can remember that, you're definitely a baseball guru.
It's madness. That's why it's the greatest game of them all, Coach. That's why it is.
It's not March Madness. It's going to be October Madness.
Yeah, which personally to me is even better because I don't like making out brackets.
Well, I'm telling you right now, this wild card playoff thing, expanding it, has really worked out to the best. All right, one quick question before we hop to the NL West. Ohtani packed up his locker room, packed up his locker and left. Give me a break. Okay, you got operated on today.
Well,
okay,
it wasn't so much.
But after the operation is done today, over today, and they release him, he needs to be back in that clubhouse with his team in a dugout.
He needs to recover a little bit. He said surgery went well. Go Halos. He didn't clear out his locker. The Angels cleared out his locker. He didn't do that. I mean, there's been so much made of that right now. Yeah, it's the end of his season, but I know that he will be there to show goodwill. He's been nothing but a good teammate. There's too much to read into that, Coach.
Oh, so I shouldn't believe Carl Ravitch. I should believe the baseball fanatic.
Well, our names both start with a K. I'll give you that. Yeah, but I'm just saying, don't read too much into that. I read it too. I saw it. I mean, I love Carl Ravitch, but I don't put a lot of stock into that. I just don't. I mean, I certainly don't see him coming back and being an angel.
Him and Buster only had a good conversation about it, so we'll leave it at that. But I know as a coach or a manager or someone, you know, get your surgery done, take a couple of days off, but I expect you to be with the team. If we're home and you're in
California. No, and I guarantee you he will. I guarantee you by next week he will be back in that dugout.
All right.
You ever had elbow surgery? It's not fun.
We'll have an adult beverage on it if you're right. I'll buy you one.
Oh, you got yourself a deal. Let's go.
Why not do it at a coach's corner? All right.
Hey, even better.
Let's stay out there on the West Coast. Dodgers, it's a lock. Okay, the NL West. Arizona is still fighting for a wild card. I mean, I'm not doing this to rub it into you, but the Cubs were snake bitten over the weekend.
Yeah, there was not enough anti-venom in the world to prevent that sweep except for Saturday night. I don't know why Dansby didn't dive for that ball. That went way too long. But ultimately, Arizona's had the Cubs number all season. They've slithered by as they are wont to do. But there's 11 games left in the season. They don't have a terribly easy schedule the rest of the way. And we'll see what happens. That's why I love the wild card. But yeah, the Dodgers have locked up yet another division title. It's a fait accompli. But you still have three teams in that division that are still vying for that second and third wild card spot. And I hope none of them get it. Am I bitter? No, I'm not bitter. Get out of here.
He's definitely being a homie on this one. He's definitely being a homie on this one because now we go to the NL Central.
Have you heard this show?
Now we go to the NL Central. Of course, Milwaukee got a little bigger lead there. They're six games up. Chicago and Cincinnati are fighting for a wild card spot.
It's going to be tough. And, you look at the Cincinnati, man, Hunter Green, he pitched a dandy last night in a losing cause. The Cubs currently have a 1.5 game lead over the Cincinnati Reds in the division, but the Reds are a mere half game behind the Cubs for that third wild card spot right now. It's going to take some, unbelievable run by the Reds or the Cubs to actually usurp the Brewers. Personally, I don't know if it's going to happen. The only thing I know is we have to play Milwaukee, heading up to Milwaukee, up to Wrigley North, as I like to call it, for the last three games of the season, starting in early October right now. But the Brewers, good pitching, and really, really, so many unsung heroes continue to win games. I'm being professional right now. I don't want to tell you what I really think right now, but it's driving me crazy because I thought we would have whipped these bums last week. But Milwaukee is a very good ball club. It's going to be tough for either the Cubs or the Reds to catch.
Well, it's going to be definitely interesting. And don't forget about the Fish, wow, which brings us to the NL East. Okay, we know the Braves. The Braves have locked it up, okay? So they're 97-55.
Not even close. Six in a row.
They've lost four out of the last five. Okay, but yeah. you got to love the Fish. Miami gets rid of Don Mattingly last year, and the Fish have been in everybody's side. I mean, Miami's been unbelievable, and they're a half game behind your Cubbies.
Yeah, they continue to play pretty solid ball, 6-4 out of their last 10. They're 6 over .500. Philly really seems like the lock for that second wild card spot. You knew what the Braves were going to do. We've talked about it all year. But, yeah, that's why having this extended playoffs makes it so special. I reiterate your point from when we talked about the American League. I mean, it's so much fun, and you're seeing these teams that do have talent. And once you get into the dance, anything can happen. But, yeah, Luis Arraez and the Fighting Fish, they're sticking around.
All right. And you got to love their lovely uniform combinations. Every time you look at them, they got a different uniform on. How many uniforms has the Miami Marlins had in their short baseball history?
I was about to say, man, at least 7 or 8. I mean, this is reminiscent of the early 70s double knit Oaks swinging Oakland A's for me.
I hear you.
I wasn't alive, but I have eyes. I can watch video.
I was alive.
Oh, I know you were. And you got to watch that.
But it was
73. What did you think about that?
But it was just, but it was just Kelly green and yellow and white. You didn't have, these baby blue colors and the pink fluorescent color, the black, the teal.
The teal.
Just so many different colors that, you know.
Miami they got at least six or seven that they've rolled out. The City Connect, the home and the away. They go to the throwback original Florida Marlin uniforms. You name it, they've worn it this year. But that's Miami.
I agree with you. You know, we're going to Miami. When you go to Miami, you never know what's going to happen. So, all right. So those are the races. We got a lot going on. We'll have a little more clearer picture, hopefully, by next Wednesday night. But I got to talk about this. LA, sports writer. We should just hang it up. Mookie Betts is the MVP. Ronald Acuña doesn't even have a chance. I don't know what this guy was watching, okay? It's a great race, just like we have the playoff races. But Acuña needs one more home run for 40 home runs. He has over 100 RBIs. I mean, he has more than 60 stolen bases. What has Mookie Betts got? He's batting .311. All right. I mean, he was an AL MVP. He's got a WAR of 8.1, but so does Ronald Acuña. So I don't know where this Dodger,
right there.
This Los Angeles sports writer gets off saying that it's a done deal. It's all Mookie Betts.
I don't see that because Ronald Acuña, if you think about it, they both got 39 home runs.
Right.
They are off by 2 percentage points in ops. Yep. And Mookie has 103 RBI. And Ronald Acuña currently has 100 right now, but something that's really special, and I don't put a lot of credence into the newer bases, the fact that he is an absolute speed demon. I know that Mookie will probably get the benefit of the doubt a little bit for his defense, even though Ronald Acuña is a really strong outfielder. Both of these players are going to get votes. The fact that it's an open-shut case is completely wrong. You could even make an argument for Matt Olson. You know, if you're going for the power numbers with 52 and 131, I know some people don't put a lot of credence into RBI anymore. Mm-hmm. And he's still got an ops very close to 1,000 right now. I think it's going to be 1-2, Acuña and Mookie. Whether Mookie's one or Acuña, that remains to be seen. I'm not a writer. But the fact that you can say that and say that it's just a fait accompli, I disagree.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I'm not saying Acuña's going to win it outright. But, you know, we still had 20 games to go, and this guy's saying Mookie Betts is the
more like 10, but still.
I mean, we're going to go to the AL MVP now. I mean, they're going to give it to Otani, but, you know, he's not playing. He won't be playing the last 25 games. I mean, Corey Seager, I guess, is the best next thing in my mind in Texas. What
yes.
do you think?
Well, I do too, and that's just it. You could make an argument for two Rangers, Marcus Semien, second base and shortstop, that are going to get votes. You could make an argument for J-Rod up in Seattle right there. I know Otani is special, but he is hurt, and he did not play the full season. The popular vote will go to him, but if you're watching the rest of the way, the guys that are still playing that are carrying them, Semien, 25 bombs, 95 RBI, and he's got 176 hits. Come on.
And
Corey Seager, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, the biggest difference is, yeah, I know we can give it to a losing team, a team that's not, but these teams are fighting for the playoffs. I mean,
yes.
The Angels have done nothing. Yes, he's been a great pitcher. He's been a great hitter, but his team hasn't gone anywhere. I mean, these teams are in a dogfight. And, you know, I just, you know, right away, let's give it to Otani. So, I mean, I'm not going to have a vote. Otani had a great year. I'm not taking, like you said, he is a unicorn. Once in a million.
Yeah, he's special.
Once in a million years, we see a unicorn, and, you know, he's special. But because he's special doesn't mean he deserves being the MVP.
Yeah, I firmly agree, and I can't wait to see what happens when we get these awards towards – actually, yeah, before the playoffs start. It's getting pretty darn close.
I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, last one. And you know what? I'm gonna make you laugh. I had a pleasure back in 19 –
You already made me laugh.
1996, okay? I got a chance to umpire Adam Wainwright at a Glenn Academy.
And Glenn Academy, Brunswick.
You could tell that this kid was something special. I was afraid to get behind the plate. That's how hard this kid was playing. But to finally see him get his 200th win the other night was something special. And are we ever going to see another 200-game winner? That's my question to you, Mr. Cranial Vault.
Okay, as we close it out, I've taken a good look at the active win leaders. Based on age only and organization and health, Gerrit Cole at 32 with 143 wins is the only player I think that could get remotely close to doing it. Yes, there's some players that are close in the 180s and 190s, but they're also looking down the barrel at 40 years old. Gerrit Cole, if he can stay healthy as a member of the Yankees, or whoever he finishes career with, I think he is probably the closest to getting that. There are currently five active players with over 200 wins, including Waino, who just got his 200. Even though it's the team that I hate, I love Adam Wainwright. Gerrit Cole is my pick to get 200, but that's going to be tough, just the way the game is played these days. But if you were asking me to pick one, that's my pick.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, like you said, a couple of those older guys are right there. Can they hold on? I mean, it's going to be very interesting. Well, Fanatic, that's inning number one in the books. You're listening to the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. Don't forget, Saturday night in the Soundgarden, we got a big show coming up. Let me give this a plug because that's what we hear. They pay the bills, the Coach's Corner. Saturday night, we got the Friends of Disabled Adults and Children. It's the Savannah Music Fest featuring Cracker and a whole bunch of artists, and it's also going to support the Alzheimer's Association here in the Savannah area. John Henderson, once again, doing another great charity event there at Coach's Corner. So it should be a lot of fun watching what goes on this Saturday. So check it out this Saturday, Friends of Disabled Children and Adults. It's a music fest. I think there will be four different bands or singers. Check it out. And the lead singer is Cracker, which you told me they had a hit some time ago. I didn't even know they had it. I was thinking of the guy Cracker or whatever it is.
Yeah, not even close right there. 90s alt rock band, a lot of top 40 hits. Should be a lot of fun. Eventbrite, go support a good cause. Get your tickets now because, like every concert, it sells out at Coach's Corner out in that beautiful Soundgarden.
Remember, it's all sports, all food, all music, all fun. Since when?
1991.
At Coach's Corner. All right, inning number two. We made a little change in our lineup here because we got a star coming on. This kid, he's still a kid to me. He's an upstate kid, okay? From Saugerties, New York, a Syracuse Orange man. It's not Syracuse Orange. It's Orange men, okay? And I here's a trivia question. I already told Biko this quickly. Biko, I'll get you on, but I want the baseball fanatic, the man of trivia. Why was Syracuse called the Orange men, and why was St. John's called the Redmen?
Okay, well, I'm going to go with the fact that the state of New York and New Jersey were both founded by, you guessed it, the Dutch, formerly known as the Orange. That's why I've always thought they were known as the Orangemen. So I don't know how that's offensive to Dutchmen, but here we are.
You know why? Because the first football game, Syracuse came out in all orange uniforms. They didn't have a nickname back then. And then St. John's, their first football game, they came out in all red uniforms.
And red.
There's no Indians. There was no. There was none of that. There was none of that. I don't know. It's just getting me started. But anyway, you know, he was
here. I thought it was the Dutch.
You know, he had a little Emmy Award ceremony when he was working for the MLB, NHL Network. He's also the Coastal Plain League. What we call him, the Broadcast Internet Entertainer.
Entertainer of the Year, yes.
Yeah, he's got a lot of it in his belt, but it's always a lot of fun listening to him on the broadcast, on the YouTube channel, the Bananas TV station now, at Bananas TV, BTV. But here he is joining us on the Coach's Hot Seat, my little tiger, because he's always calling me the big tiger. And that's, of course, Biko Scala from, you got it, from the Savannah Bananas. What's up, brother?
Carl, Kyle, it is an absolute pleasure to get to chat with you, Menches, once again. Not in our home state, Carl, right now on the other side of the Hudson in New Jersey, but I'll tell you what, it is a lot more affordable to get an apartment over here.
That is very true, my friend. Very true.
And didn't the Dutch go up the Hudson River to find Syracuse so they could be called the Orange?
That's what I've heard. I mean, I'm a big Henry Hudson See? Guy with the half moon and all that. And I don't remember his exact affiliation, but, you know, it gets a little
back
English. In the days. That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay, good one.
I mean, Hofstra University, founded by the Dutch, was called the Hofstra Dutchman. We can't even use that. We're the Hofstra Pride. Give me a break.
Yeah, I was actually able to convince Kyle Lewis, Cowboy Kyle, Kara Heater, our marketing director, and Zach Frangelo, our director of entertainment, that the Hudson River was named after Kate Hudson, and it used to be called the Sinatra River. But then Kate Hudson donated so much money to New York State that they renamed the river after them. I had to pull the rug out pretty quick because I couldn't have them repeating that in life, but it gave me a good laugh for a couple minutes.
And Sinatra came.
That's like
Go ahead, Kyle.
No, I was like, that's like saying the Cobb salad was invented at the Brown Derby by a guy named Bob Cobb. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Or there's a guy named Joseph Garnish. There just isn't.
And I was going to say, and you know, Sinatra, he came from a Hoboken. So Hoboken to Syracuse, who knows? But anyway.
How about it?
We'll go from there. Well, congratulations. It's always a lot of fun with Biko. I know we're a small, you know, internet podcast, but it's always fun. We start the season off with Biko. We're going to end in Biko. I mean, Jesse and Jared, Jesse Cole and Jared Orton, they're just they're off the chain. You can't get in touch with them at all. But we started the year with you. We're finishing the year. 87 games, 30 something different cities. Man, my first question to you was, what was that like? Was it a dream come true?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't the seven greatest months of my life. Started off in mid-February, like you said, in West Palm Beach on the 17th. And then we closed up on the 16th, just right here in September, down the road, about 3.5 hours from where I am right now in Cooperstown, New York, right a couple blocks away from the Baseball Hall of Fame at Doubleday Field. So, yeah, the whole winding road, 33 cities was the exact number, 21 states, and 87 games, as you said, although we did have three rained out, twice to the Aussie Drop Bears, who made the trip from the land down under and had half their games rained out after the third inning. And also the Florida Collegiate All-Stars had one that got clipped. But besides that, Mother Nature was very kind to us. We got to pop all over, had over 15,000 people at a couple different venues, ended up, you know, performing Banana Ball in front of over 500,000 fans in person. And then you talk about an internet show. I mean, you're talking to an internet showman right here. We just broadcast the vast majority of our games on YouTube. And we had over 7 million people view our broadcast in totality. That also includes our ESPN2 game and a few games on NESN as well. So we did get a drop in the pan on the old linear television, but it was mind-boggling. I mean, it was absolutely astounding and the coolest thing that I've gotten to do in life thus far.
All right, Kyle, your turn. Throw the kid a curveball.
Oof. I was about to say, I don't know where I'd begin, but a good friend of mine was at Wrigley Field a few weeks ago, and he walks into the Baseballism store on, you know, beautiful, you know, Addison Street, and he says, can you believe this? There is Savannah Bananas merch in outside a Major League Pro Shop outside of one of the oldest stadiums in Major League Baseball. I said, yeah. Baseball isn't bought in big, and people were wearing the merch all over. There was merch at Wrigley Field when I was there last month. But speaking of stadiums, all the different cities you've been able to entertain in, what was your favorite stadium this season? What stood out for you? And I know it's going to be hard because you've had some gems.
Oh, yeah. No, it's 100% true. For me, the most special spot was Tampa, Florida. It's, you know, George M. Steinbrenner Field, grew up a diehard Yankees fan. The last time I had been there before getting to broadcast in the Yes Network broadcast booth, which was a pinch yourself type moment, was with my late great grandpa Mike, who passed away after watching one Banana Ball broadcast. In fact, it was actually Banana Ball. It was the first ever Banana Ball game played in front of fans back in early June of 2020. You know, I know he's been watching this journey from wherever he is in the ether of the world, but that pulled tears from my eyes. I'd be lying if I said it didn't when I saw that place filling up and I was in the booth. And the last time I'd been there was with my grandpa. So that was super special, impossible to top that. Indianapolis was really cool because that was close to 16,000 on a night game and then a rescheduled day game because a storm hit and downtown Indy lost power. So instead of Thursday, they had to come at noon on Saturday. And I thought it was going to be a disaster. There was not an empty seat in the house. That was pretty astounding. Phoenix, probably my favorite city, if you're just going city-wise. Also, we got to be in Scottsdale Stadium, which is the giant spring training home, and then the Peoria Sports Complex, which houses the Mariners and Padres during spring training. And both of those were top of the line. Going up and down California was really cool. I had never gotten to see the Pacific Ocean. I went underwater, a bit of a baptism of sorts. And it's
cold.
It's in some winding way, that is kind of how it all shakes out for me. And then, you know, just close to as special as being able to broadcast in Tampa and George M. Steinbrenner was the whole Northeast leg, getting New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maine, and then finishing back up in my college town in Syracuse and Cooperstown, which is less than 2 hours from my growing up home of Saugerties, New York. It was pretty poetic for me.
All right. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. And we got the little tiger, the broadcast internet entertainer from the Savannah Bananas, Biko. Well, I'm going to give you, it's Nico Biko Scalar. It's really Nicholas, but he's not going to tell us that. So
that's we'll a go fact. That.
I think you just did.
All right. My question to you then is, okay, Kyle did the stadiums. I'm going to do the players, the people that you met, which was your favorite? If you don't tell me Ted Kirchen, I'm going to be really upset with you.
Yeah, Tim Kirchen, that was West Palm Beach.
Man. Oh, timeout. That's an error on our show because I get names all the time wrong. I said Ted. Sorry, Tim. There you go, Kyle. There's my first error of the night.
I know what you meant.
Biko. Yeah, that's for sure. I probably missay things over 100 times every broadcast. So
no, buddy, the way you paint fireworks, you do a great job. I don't think you miss many. Go ahead.
That warms the heart. Thank you. Yeah, no, Tim Kirchen, that was the most special for me, which is pretty astounding because it happened within the first two games of this tour. So that was really special. In fact, it happened on the first game of the entire tour. He just happened to be in the same hotel as us, ended up in the elevator with a couple of our guys, and all of a sudden through a Syracuse connection, I went to school with his son Jeff. I was able to wrangle him into the booth for a couple innings, so that was truly special. Having Doug Flutie in the booth in Brockton, Massachusetts nice. was really quite cool. That's one for my grandpa Larry, who grew up in Brookline, Massachusetts. He was a Boston College guy and Patriots as well, so Flutie checked a bunch of boxes for us there. I think for the masses, Thomas Rhett might have been our biggest get. I'm really embarrassed to say that I had no idea who he was before he came on our broadcast, but I did a little Wikipedia research and realized that he's headlined like 6 tours and has had 20 plus country number one hits. So that was pretty impressive. And he was a really, really cool dude. And then just getting to hang out with Lou Pinnell and Nick Swisher and CC Sabathia and Andrew Miller and so many guys who I grew up idolizing. It's tough to pick one. And in fact, Lou, who we had mic'd up during the game in Tampa against the Major League Baseball Players Alumni Association, was using his little pack that is the microphone as a phone. And at Lou Pinnell managing a team, playing against the Bananas, holding a mic pack to his head like a phone. It was a fever dream, and it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life.
And I'm going to say this right here. Jesse Cole, you can have Lee Smith, but this young whippersnapper, this young tiger, had more famous Yankees than your Lee Smith, buddy. That's all I got to say.
That's a fact. Although Lee Smith, that was quite cool.
That's pretty cool, too.
Hey.
It's pretty cool, too. Hey. I agree.
Yeah. Lee Smith is awesome and a nice guy. Correct. He stole my pen once.
How about that?
It's a great story. I mean, Jesse was a ball boy, a bat boy at a Red Sox game, and he took pictures with Lee Smith. What goes around comes around. And there you go. You got Lee Smith.
So true.
Did you find a big enough banana jersey to fit him into that? He took a picture in it?
Yeah, that is one big tiger. We did.
That's
we were
a able dude.
We were able to scrounge it up. I mean, he was the king of closers for 13 years and inducted in the Hall of Fame in 2019. He played on Doubleday. He was supposed to throw one pitch. He bounced it. And he said, no, I'm Lee Smith. I'm taking another. They all said, no one's going to go out there and take the ball from me, Lee. And he was able to paint the inside corner to Jason Swan. So that was pretty special.
All right, Kyle, your second question. And I got one, and we're done with the little tiger, but I know we could talk for hours with him. You go.
Yeah, I know we could. It's been so much fun just watching the journey with you guys. The fact you've been able to interact with so many former major leaguers, and the fact that so many people have bought into it. You know, just the banana ball, just the whole concept. The whole country has fallen in love with it. You can find the merch all over the country. But I got to say, I want to stay with Cooperstown. So, not only did you get to have the two games at Doubleday Field, what was it like being in the museum and knowing that there's a banana ball exhibit there. And the fact that the entire organization, everybody involved, was there, I want to know about your experience.
Yeah, I don't think I've wrapped my head around it quite yet, Kyle. I mean, it's like I said earlier, I grew up less than 2 hours from it. Of the 33 cities, and you can't call Cooperstown a city, it's the farthest thing from it, but of the 33 places that we played banana ball, it was the closest to my hometown. And I went there once or twice every summer for probably over a decade straight. So I'm very familiar with the hall and in love with it and in love with the place, and have swam in Lake Otsego and camped around the area all the time and gone to old fashioned baseball tournaments around the area. And, you know, the list goes on and on. So then to be enshrined in the National Baseball Hall of Fame, my scorebooks from game two in West Palm Beach are in there. There's a little write up next to them. It says Biko Scala. There's a little running video in the display that is showing all kinds of highlights and things that went viral throughout the tour. And some of them, it's music or a TikTok sound or this, but a lot of the other ones, it's actually my broadcast audio underneath it. So,
nice.
Yeah, hearing my voice in the Hall of Fame at 26 years old, because of the bananas, because of the Savannah Bananas and me leaving a full-time with benefits job at MLB Network for a 2.5-month contract during COVID, it's all astounding. And, you know, Chill City. It's Chill City. Like, what else could you say about it? But everything is in there for as long as they'd like it to be in there, and hopefully it outlasts me.
Well, you know, Kyle, I got to tell you this. I would check in on the young Tiger every game, and – when it all first started with the YouTube, you can get in there, chat, and Biko would say, hey, it's the big Tiger, Coach Tomasi, checking in on us. You couldn't even get him to look at the chat that was going, because you couldn't keep up with the chat, because, I mean, you look
too much.
At it. I mean, 150,000 people, I don't know if I'm exaggerating, watching the games. I mean, it was just crazy, just crazy. And this is my question for you is, you know, do you think this is going to go bigger and better? Kyle and I discussed this last week. Major League cut 40 minor league towns. And I said this to you, Biko. You know I said this to you, that I say that one day Jesse Cole is going to be the commissioner of a banana ball league. We're going to have different cities having banana ball teams. So it won't just be the bananas against the party animals. We're going to have the bananas playing everywhere. And I think that's something that might be very in the near future. What's your thought on that?
It's definitely a part of the dream. And we've targeted kind of randomly 2026, not randomly. Everything we do is very thought out. But, you know, when you throw some spaghetti at the wall and hope it sticks, if everything goes to plan, then 2026 we'll have maybe a little 18 league. So we are on that path. October 5th. At 7 p.m. Eastern on the Bananas YouTube channel, we will have our 2024 World Tour Draft, as we call it, which is a fancy way of saying our schedule announcement. Nice. That will, you know, foretell a lot of the future and what's going to be happening in the next year, obviously. But yeah, it's getting big. And as Michael Jordan says, and I love to repeat, the ceiling is the roof. Does it make sense? No, but nothing in Banana Land makes sense.
Nope.
And you know, this thing really could have some serious wheels and keep going. It will go international in the next couple of years. It will continue to be cruising to a higher level than ever before. And this tour was a grand experiment, and it was a smashing success. So it'll be fascinating on the 5th to find out where we are going next year. Obviously, I have an inkling on a couple destinations and this and that, but the world will hear our master plan on the 5th. And it's not just the schedule. We've got a couple other surprises for people. So yeah, we're really fired up about the future.
Well, I just want you to remember, you could say that OG that lived in Savannah, that was from New York, he said there will be a banana ball league. He was the first to say it. And I just got that gut feeling. And you know what? It's even going to make it, it's going to take it to the next level, because you won't be playing the same guys.
And yeah. You know what?
Take the same next level.
Correct, 100%. And the league, it maximizes everything, right? But the one thing I will say, and something that will be unrepeatable about this 2023 World Tour, in which, by the way, it's the Banana Ball World Tour. The Savannah Bananas are the team that's been in Grayson Stadium since 2016. The Party Animals won it. The Party Animals won 9 straight games at the end and ended up 34-33-2 against the Bananas. So that is something that will go down in history. And the unreplicable piece of what's going on in the future is the ultimate rivalry that occurred when you had an 87-game tour, and in 69 of those games, one team was playing another team. I mean, you ask any of these guys, we have former minor leaguers, we have guys who have played SEC football at Notre Dame, you know, D2 baseball, indie pro ball, have had all kinds of competitive experiences all over the world. All of them will tell you that this was the greatest rivalry they've ever had. It's unreplicable. I don't think you'll see two teams play each other 69 times. It's 75% of the season was the Bananas and Party Animals just butting heads. So it will definitely add a lot to have more teams, but I'm not discounting how special and unique that this entire enormous experiment was.
Kyle, anything to wrap it up?
I'll finish up real quick, buddy. All right. 87 games, off-season plans, little R&R for you. And after the 24 schedule announcement on the 5th, how are you going to chill out? What do you got for the fall going into the winter and getting ready to start for 2014?
He's engaged. He's got something else that he's got to deal with too, Kyle. You just got married. He's looking forward to doing that too.
Congratulations. Yeah, I did that too. First of all, congratulations. Thanks, buddy. Kyle. That's awesome, man. yes, now that the tour is over, I can finally start putting some brain power towards that. Nothing is going to happen this offseason, but maybe next year or the year after that. I don't know. My fiance and I are pretty laissez-faire. You know, we got the ring out of the way. And fiance is such a fancy word. It's like, why just rush to a wedding? It's kind of fun to be able to say that for a little while. I
waited.
Yeah, good. I was broadcasting our roommate's cats wrestling the other day. So, you know, got to keep the pipes working, keep the mind, keep being creative. That turned into my first TikTok since probably March or something. I'm trying to get back into the social media game a little bit. Currently writing a world tour recap, which is pretty fun. And that should be out within the next couple days. And then it's just planning for next year. I might do a little freelance broadcasting here and there. I've got a couple logs in the fire, as they say. But in general, all things are Bananas. I'm going to be living in Jersey City. I love it around here. I'm right next to Liberty State Park. So check out Old Lady Liberty. Perfect. down at the water. Drive a couple hours north, hang out with my parents and my grandparents, get to spend some time with them. So, yeah, nice 4 months of hunkering down, preparing for next year's tour, and definitely no lack of keeping busy.
Nice.
Well, I'll tell you this. So if you ever need any assistance with any freelance work, you know, I'm a mere flight away. I can get up there in 2 hours. Just let me know, buddy. I'll be there.
Thanks, Kyle. I appreciate that, man. It's good to have an ace in the hole.
Of course.
Hey, you can have an OG in the hole. I'm going to claim my fame here. I did announce one of the championship games in 2016 on the internet. So you could say I was the first internet's world guy for the Bananas, but you know that's history. But we'll let it
get
go
Red Barber that. Over here.
Red Barber, that's a fact.
Down goes right. Those Peninsula Pilots.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's right. That's who it was. So, all right. Last thing is though, what really I want to get a thought on, and I've said this to Kyle. People saying it's the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. No, the Harlem Globetrotters never lost to the Washington Generals, and like you said. You replicated a rivalry that was so intense. People don't realize that they're great entertainers. They go in the stands, they smooze people, you know, they do all their little sticks, but they're baseball players and they're very good baseball players. And people don't realize that.
Yeah, if you go on the Bananas YouTube page, you can watch the entire championship game. It was not planned to be a championship game. It just happened that after 68 games, the two teams were tied at 33 wins, 33 losses, and 2 ties, which we also abolished after 2 of the first 22 games were ties. But that's a story for another day. Yes. So, yeah, it's just when you watch that game, you can see the intensity. And then when you see the Party Animals claim victory, sweet, sweet victory at the end and complete the longest winning streak in banana ball history. There's only been 117 games, so it's a young sport. But they won 9 straight. All of those were elimination games. And you can see in the background of them celebrating Kyle Lewigs, who started the game for the Bananas and did not have his best outing of the tour or his 6-year Bananas career, put his head in his hands in absolute despair. I mean, like, it's heartbreaking. It really is. And that is the beauty and the horror of sports, is it can get you so high and it can bring you so, so, so low. But the jubilation on the faces of the party animals, I mean, you can see it all throughout the game. There was a play at the plate on a fielder's choice where, you know, the Bananas didn't get the guy out. And you can see in the background of it, Kyle literally punched the mound. He punched the mound. I'm happy he didn't hurt himself, in frustration, because this means so much to the guys. And now, forever, for eternity, the party animals will be the champions of the first ever full season of Banana Ball. And that says just about enough about the whole Harlem Globetrotters thing. I mean, one, you can't fix baseball. I know that the Black Sox, the 8-man out back in the early 1900s, 1918, that they threw the World Series. But you can't actually set it up to the fact of it actually making sense, like the Globetrotters can in basketball.
You can't. You definitely can't. So, well, Biko, I've watched you grow. I said, who's this kid in 2020? I mean, you paint the picture, even though there is a picture now, when you were on the internets and you had your whiteboard. If you notice the promo tonight, take a look at it after I post up. There's a whiteboard over your shoulder, but we won't get into that. You've grown. You're doing a great job. I mean, I love watching you. Thank God you got Josh to shave his mustache. That was even better. So it's a great time. And I'm sorry that I can't comment anymore, but I still watch you. I still keep up on you.
I appreciate it, Carl. Yeah, it's kind of like the Yogi Berra-ism. Nobody goes there anymore because it's too crowded. It's a very good problem to have, that the comment section is flying at warp speed, so I can't see it. But it does hurt my soul that I don't get to see the legends like you, Carl, commenting in there. And it was simpler times when I'd be broadcasting a baseball game and could look in there. And the joy, the pure, unfiltered, powerful joy that I would get, that I would know that the legend, Carl DeMasi, the Carl DeMasi of the Carl DeMasi Sports Report, was watching my broadcast. That really, I'm being so serious, that really fired me up. And there's a lot of other people out there in the world, you know, family members or legendary Bananas fans, that it was a two-way conversation. And it is sad that those days are behind us, but it's definitely, unfortunately, worth the trade-off. It's pretty cool getting about 40,000 to 50,000 people watching all of our games.
It is. I mean, it's the job that you've done. You're doing a great job. People love listening to it. People love watching it. People love coming to the game, but they don't get you at the game. They get the other... The historic voice of Grayson Stadium. You're the voice of the internets, but they get the Shark, which is another story itself. But anyway, we got to get Kyle. We got to meet at Rockies. We got to get a couple of creamers. We got to do shots of half and half, and then have a nice New York sandwich.
Couldn't agree more. Carl and Kyle, thank you so much, as always, for having me, guys. It's always a blast chatting with you.
Rocks, little tiger.
You're the best, buddy. Keep it up.
Relax, you deserve it, little tiger.
Appreciate you guys. I'm going to go grill up some cod on the roof here of my apartment.
Cod in
Do
Jersey?
It.
Correct. In Jersey? You
got from Whole Foods. We'll see how it works.
Go to
hey, it's East better River. Than Delaware River catfish.
I was going to tell him, go to the East River, get a fish there and have something to eat.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm a little closer to the Hudson, so throw a line in there. We'll come out with a couple eyes.
Hey, have a good one. Appreciate you doing this, buddy. You always like what you do. Congratulations. Great job.
I appreciate you guys. You rock. Thank you.
I mean, Kyle, just a kid that loves what he does. And, you know,
he's the best, man.
But he didn't tell you. I don't know if he's listening. When the Animals won the second to last game, you had the Animals. He was a homie banana boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you come this far and you didn't expect that to happen. But yeah, Biko continues to do great work, and he's absolutely the best at what he does. And, man, it's been an unbelievable journey. And, man, I love that we could finish up this banana season. Big season, Banana Ball, the biggest tour ever, with the voice himself, Biko Scala. He was fantastic. And I'm so glad we went long because, man, we had a lot to talk about.
Well, you know what's the best about this whole thing? Never turns me down, always willing to come on. And I always tell him, yeah, 5-10 minutes. But, you know, we could talk to him for about 2 hours. And, you know, he comes on, I went on the internets to look at all the interviews this kid has done. I mean, there's so many to watch, and they're not just 5 minutes or 10 minute interviews. They're 45 minutes. They're an hour. So, he deserves it.
Absolutely.
The bananas deserve it. They're making people love baseball. just in a little slight changes, but we'll go from there. All right, that was inning number two in the books. We got 10 minutes. Do you want to pick up the Braves, or we'll do that next week and just go straight to trivia?
All right, I'll just tell you really quickly right now. Okay, the Braves, they win their sixth AL East title right there. Yeah, they've had a rough, you know, 4 to 6 games here. You know, they drop them with Philadelphia, but they start a 4-game series with Washington starting tomorrow. One little piece of information I'll give you. Jesse Chavez is back. He was banged up with that bruised shin. Kyle Wright is vying for a spot on the postseason roster. He's really open to actually being a long reliever, because odds are you're only going to go with pretty much a 3-man rotation in the playoffs right there. And Max Fried should be back for Thursday. That's the biggest news I have right now. Everybody in Braves Nation, take a deep breath. You got 97 wins. You got a 1.5-game lead over Baltimore for the best record in all of baseball. Get ready for that first round bye. That's my Braves wrap-up. Time for some trivia.
I just hate it that people are saying that Snicker is just letting them relax too much. And that's, you know what?
They're still don't listen to it.
Believe me, it's not Snicker that's going to get them turned on. They got to turn it on themselves when they get to the playoffs. All right, so we're only going to go 3 innings tonight. That was inning number 2 in the books. Remember, you're listening to the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with Coach Carl DeMasi and, of course, the baseball fanatic Kyle Lawson, all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. I'll let you know who's playing in the Soundgarden when we get done with the trivia question, the trivia segment. Hey, inning number 3, we're going to get PPT'd in inning number 4. But the coach is up 6-5. Okay, buddy.
6-5.
You started last week, so I'm going to be an honest guy. I'm up first. Throw your first question at me.
All right. Let me ask you this. Name the first player to have 25 home runs and 50 stolen bases in a single season.
I notice. I can picture the guy, but I got to come up with the name.
Just making sure you're paying attention, Coach.
25 stolen bases, 25 home runs, and how many stolen bases?
50.
50.
Sneaky fast.
I got to go with Ricky Henderson.
Okay, that's a very good guess. Even the great Ricky Henderson did not do this. It just happened the other day. It is quite possibly my pick for NL Rookie of the Year, Corbin Carroll from the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I didn't even think of him. I thought it was Ricky because, you know.
I know, and I knew you would go for that. I'm making sure you're on your toes. Busy week. He just grabbed that 50th bag. All right. There you go. What you got for me?
All right. I'm going to stick with the playoffs. This team between 1991 and 2005 made the playoffs 14 consecutive times, which is a Major League Baseball postseason record. What is that team's name?
That's the Atlanta Braves.
You're up 1-0, buddy. You're up.
Man alive.
And as they say, right, they say in Banana Land, that's 1 point for you. You win the inning, so get off the field. We're going to go to inning number 2.
All right, and like Banana Ball, we got to keep it quick. So here we go. Fred McGriff, the crime dog, who spent some great years with the Atlanta Braves. True or false, did he go into the Hall of Fame as a member of the Atlanta Braves with the logo on his cap?
That is false.
Okay, you got me.
I watched the ceremony. There you go. I watched the ceremony.
I'm okay. Making sure you're paying attention.
I'm a diehard baseball fan. I've been watching the Hall of Fame ceremony since I'm probably 10 years old. So just something I love.
Me too.
So.
All right. All right. There we go. All right.
You get this, you win. You don't get it, we got to go to our tiebreaker. There are 10 Major League Baseball players who have hit a record 3 home runs in one playoff game. But there's only one player that did it twice. Can you name that player?
3 home runs in a game twice.
10 players have done that. This player is the only one to do it twice.
Only player to do it twice. Man, that's a good one. Oh, Dougie. Mickey Mantle.
No, they say I look like him. I love eating hot dogs. I love eating food.
Okay, that was my second guess. Daggone it. It's the Babe. All right, Ruth. We go to the bonus.
Okay, bonus segment.
Okay.
We haven't tied all year. You know that.
No, I know, and I don't know how to feel about it. So, all right. This is a question I was saving. Name the pitcher with the most career Cy Youngs. And I cannot believe I haven't asked you this yet. You don't have to tell me how many. Just give me the pitcher.
The most Cy Young Award winner.
Who has won the most? I'll tell you right now, it's seven.
Seven Cy Young Award winner.
Which has been awarded since 1956, since after the great Cy Young's passing.
Can't be any of those late old-time Yankees because they were all retiring back then. Seven times.
Pretty wild, huh?
And I'm going to kick myself in the rear end when you tell me who it is if I don't get it right. There's only one person I can think of, and I just thought he had a phenomenal baseball career. Started with the Mets. The Mets got rid of him. I got to go with Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan never won a Cy Young.
He never won a Cy Young?
He had seven no-hitters, but he certainly did not have that. Okay, but here is my answer. Roger Clemens.
I got to be honest with you. I know he played for the Yankees, but I hated Roger Clemens.
Yeah, I know. I know you did, buddy. Okay. I thought you would have gotten that one.
He won one or two. He won one with the Yankees, didn't he? Or did he win two?
Yes, he did.
He won one with the Yankees.
I think he won two with the Yankees. He had a little help, but that's not why you called. Yeah, so.
Four with Boston and one with Toronto?
I'm going to have to go back and double check that. I don't know. Right. Okay, but bottom line, the guy got seven. Okay, let's finish this up.
I don't want to keep you longer than an hour. I know Angela's waiting for you. You got to have a little food there. I don't know if you're cooking the cod. I don't know if you're cooking the cod outside on the card hood. But all right,
he's allergic to fish.
Yeah. All right, this player hit a record 39 home runs for his team after the 81 game mark in 1999, but his team still finished in fourth place. He didn't make the playoffs. Who was it?
1999?
Yep.
Man, okay. Yeah, I certainly was. I was alive, and I'm pretty sure I had a driver's license. 99. Barry Bonds.
So close. Good guess, but Mark McGuire. He broke Roger Maris's home run record in 1998 when he finished with 70, but then he hit a 65 in 1999, 39 in the second half of the season. He was putting the chase on his own magic number, but he didn't make it. All right, buddy. I'm just going to keep the white flag out here. I don't have to give it to you. The blue W. So, even though
worry about it.
Nice T-shirt you got on there, the flag of Chicago in that W. You got to love it. So, but anyway, great show, a lot of fun. Got to thank Biko Scala for finding time from Jersey City coming on tonight. I mean, it always makes it a lot of fun. Appreciate what they did. The Bananas are over. They finished the season. The Party Animals won the challenge, 34 games to 33. Simply amazing, and it's just a good thing to have the Savannah Bananas bringing people into the ballpark to watch baseball, whatever type of baseball you want to call it. They're still coming to watch.
No doubt about it, Coach. It's been a lot of fun. I love that we got a chance to talk to Biko tonight. And hey, next week, who knows what we're going to be talking about? Who's clinched? Who's out of it? Who's in it? I can't wait to do it. But man, it's been a lot of fun. But we got to show some love to our good friends at Coach's Corner. Without them, what's the point?
I'll make this quick. In the Sound Garden this Friday night, we got Pandora's Box.
Yeah, you're right.
Pandora's Box, the ultimate Aerosmith tribute band. Then on Saturday night, we got another great charity event put on by the Hendersons, John and Dell Henderson, and of course the staff at Coach's Corner, the Friends of Disabled Adults, Children, Alzheimer's Music Fest. There's four musicians going to be in there. We got Cracker coming in, so make sure you check it out. And then it won't happen, but till October 6th, we got Night Train, the Guns and Roses tribute experience. And then October 27th, we got a little Departure, Back in Black. It's a double feature. Departure and Back in Black, it's a double feature. Make sure you check it out. All right, Kyle, I'm going to get you out of here an hour. We got 30 seconds. Quickly, whatever you're doing today, tomorrow, what are you going to do?
Always hit it out of the park.
And until next week when we talk to you again, what may it be?
Make it your best week ever.
And on that note, 20 seconds to go. Always, always play ball.
Play ball.
I'll talk to you later, buddy. Good luck with the Cubbies.
Oh, I'm going to need it. I'll see you next week, buddy.
All right, we got 5 seconds and we're out of here. Goodbye.
Goodbye.